The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Page 2 of your notes, Roman numeral 9, Doctrine of Surpassing Grace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a paramount doctrine that you and I should keep before us at all times. We cannot serve and glorify God out of fellowship. We can be nice out of fellowship. We can be helpful. We can do all the kinds of things that even an unbeliever can do. But we cannot glorify God and produce divine good and not be in sync with God the Holy Spirit under face-to-face teaching. This is your opportunity one more time to be sure that you are connected with what's going on before us this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know from your word that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We thank you that we have life through Jesus Christ and that we have the truth so that we can exploit the wonderful plan that is perfect and eternal and that we are permanently a part of. Bless this Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. An area of SG3 is giving to the needs of others. All right? Helping out others. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. But Jesus uses an extreme example where someone isn't just able to write a check, so to speak. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. Purses which do not wear out must be understood in light of the times where people carried around their coins in leather bags or purses, as it's translated here. And those things, you had to keep tabs on them because they could develop holes in them and lose coins, apparently. So, which do not wear out. That's the SG3 account in heaven. That is an unfading, never decreasing treasure in heaven. And again, the background here is the willingness to even liquidate something if necessary. You listening? To liquidate something to help somebody else that is probably somewhat impoverished and in need of living grace. This treasure in heaven, he calls it. This is something that I was never occupied with too much, probably not hardly at all, before sound doctrine. That there are ways to build up your eternal rewards account. Temporal things are subject to destruction. He sees as an example where no thief comes near. Maybe you've been in your life a victim of somebody stealing something from you. Where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. probably had the experience of having those little insects attack clothing. Okay? That's what this is about. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, occupation, these words will stand the test. When people get to heaven and get to phase three, they'll be able to see that their heart and their treasure was in the same place. And they were not exclusively preoccupied with the accumulation of the temporal things of this life. Not that there's anything wrong with having and owning possessions, but it should not be at the expense of making applications, there will your heart be also. You can't see SG3, but then you can't see a lot of the things that you are informed of with regard to Bible class. You walk, and we walk by faith. We take the Word of God, and we believe it, and we go with it, and that's versus, working just by sight alone. Philippians 4:17. Paul was the recipient of a significant monetary gift that he didn't solicit, that the Philippian saints in that church decided to get together and have delivered to him. There's quite a backstory to the whole thing. But it got to him. And he is making mention of that in Philippians. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. That local church and those members who contributed monetarily to help out their spiritual leader, who was far away in Rome, in prison. He still had financial and personal needs. They had enough sensitivity to realize that he did. And they were going to help him. He was not under the kind of arrest where you couldn't have any visitors or you couldn't have them helping you. It was more like a house arrest, as far as I can tell from my study, at least his first Roman imprisonment. He could have visitors. He could write letters. He could have people show up, provide him with something. And so of all the churches that I have studied in the New Testament that Paul was responsible for, the only one I know of that explicitly states that they came to his financial aid. And all these churches, they had the means. It wasn't like they didn't have the means. But the profit which increases to your account. Communicators of Bible doctrine who prepare believers for the Lord's return are promised stewardship over the Lord's possessions. Now that's an interesting one. The Lord's possessions. And hands-on. What all that involves. I don't know. Luke 12:42. I'll turn there. Luke 12. Of course, Jesus had a lot to say about the afterlife and preparing yourself to reap eternal life, to get above and beyond the blessedness of being a believer in phase three with a resurrection body. That in and of it by itself is phenomenal, considering the alternative. Luke 12:42. And the Lord said, where then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants in that time, the master is the lord of the estate. And he has one of the slaves or one of the servants who is to oversee the rest of the servants and their individual responsibilities on that estate and all the things that needed to be attended to. So it all ran smooth and everything was taken care of. So the sensible steward, the faithful and sensible steward, the master isn't always on premises. The master is, in this case, on the analogy, he's away on some sort of a trip, which is analogous to Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. And he puts in charge now, this dispensation, a pastor teacher over an allotment of believers. This allotment of believers, he has no control over who and what show up at his church. I mean, he can witness to a person like anyone else, but he has no control over that, nor should he. He's simply there to take care of the spiritual needs of positive volition. And that's what I do. However few, however many. Will put in charge, whom his master will put in charge of his servants. That's related to phase two. I've been put in charge. I don't wear my authority on my, cuff. I don't make a big deal of it, but I do have authority. Just as you may have if you're the boss or in some environment, you have been given authority within a chain of command, even if it's just in a home. He's put in charge of his servants. There has to be that authority factor involved. To give them their rations at the proper time. These servants need rations. The overseer or the head servant is to see to it that everybody gets what they need in order to do the various things to make this estate run smoothly. He is there to get what is necessary brought in. So if there is people that are doing the food, the people that are taking care of, there's animals, if there's grounds, if there's whatever there is, housekeeping, repairs, etc. To give them their rations at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. There's the analogy. The master is out of sight, out of town, away from the estate, but we know he's coming. And when he comes refers to the return of the Lord, and for the church, this refers to our meeting the Lord in the air, and all of us will be evaluated spiritually at that time, and the awards will be handed out accordingly. Truly, I say to you, verse 44 is an SG3 verse. It's specifically an SG3 verse for a spiritual leader. In this case, in the church age, with the early apostles, and then down the road, individual pastor teachers. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. That would be at least in the millennium and in the kingdom phase, and how that all works out, of course, is a mystery, but will be clear at the time. Now, verse 45 has the slave, servant, maladjusting to his niche and still holding the position, but not executing the proper responsibilities towards believers. His abuse is specified here. We won't get into that. But that is communicators of doctrine who prepare the believers for the Lord's return are promised stewardship over the Lord's possessions in phase three, where in the kingdom, the millennial phase, we've also noted that believers will be given positions in the millennium commensurate with their phase two. Okay? Now, point 11. Testing is the basis for SG3. Thank God. You will be tested. You will be put under circumstances and situations that will test you. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. And these believers, the testing that is in view here, was persecution. They broke from their family traditions of paganism, the holidays, the activities, the going to place of worship, so-called, and stepping out of that and into the truth. This really gets people angry and upset, family members and friends and others. In this you greatly rejoice. I don't know if you have ever rejoiced in the face of persecution for your faith. The rejoicing isn't, oh, goody, goody, I'm glad they're acting this way. The rejoicing, or the emphasis, is these people who are speaking ill, who are doing what they're doing, are just handing me, as long as I stay in fellowship, and they're handing me SG3. All I have to do is sit there and endure their abuse when I'm around them or hear about what they say. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, phase two is a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. What would these trials include? In some instances, job persecution. Others, they're not going to get the family inheritance. The other kids will, but you won't. Just say. The various things people do. You've been distressed by various trials, that the proof or evidence of your faith, the proof or evidence of your faith is that in the face of antagonistic types trying to trip you up, make life miserable for you, on the job, in the family, whatever it may come down to. First Peter epistle doesn't talk about state-sponsored persecution. It just talks about the society and the towns and the places they were in. Because you have to remember, stepping into Christianity back then, that was a big deal. You're going up against the entire culture that they have rah, rah, rah. Today, there's all kinds of versions of Christians. And I know we're not liked by some very much. They hate us. We just have been protected by God where we don't have to deal with state-sponsored persecution. But if we were still here, I could see a day coming when we would have to make some hard choices. But we'll cross that, if we do, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. None of this, shut up about that or else. All right? You have been distressed by various trials, that the evidence of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory, all those positive things. You'll get the praise, you'll get the glory, the heightened glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, which of course is a reference to SG3 and those believers among us through the church age who will excel at the Bema seat. All right, A, persecution for the faith results in SG3. Matthew 5, we know that. And I have suffered some in my life, persecution. I got the wrong book. It's not going to work. Matthew 5. Ten through 12. Blessed, Jesus said, are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those of us who have, and through the church age, who have come under persecution for the sake of God's righteousness, which is the truth of His word and living under it, that for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, which comes in all varieties, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Gin up stuff, make up stuff, accuse Christians of this and that. He says you're to rejoice and be glad. You're to have that inner plus H. You got to keep that in front of you because you can be bummed out by it and all blah blah blah. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. This one, all rewards phenomenal. But when you take abuse from other people for your faith and your steadfastness, you can privately and inwardly rejoice and be glad. Completely opposite of what you think a person would experience if they're in the face of someone attacking them verbally and in other ways that people do stuff. For great is your reward in heaven. All right, we're in good company. The last part of the verse, you're in good company. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets. The Jewish prophets who went to the Jewish people, they took a lot of grief and abuse from fellow Jews that ought to have known better. These prophets, called my servants the prophets, they will all be those true prophets. They will all be in a real special category because they were on the front lines telling the people, calling them to repent, to turn away from idols or whatever they were doing and get with God's program, and criticizing and pointing out the evil that their fellow Jews were involved in. The prophets who were before you. So this is a long history of this. So as a Christian, keep this in mind. You're not out there to please everybody. You're out there to please God. If it pleases others, fine. So many different ways I can try to point this out to you. How you can accumulate SG3. But you live your faith. You're willing to give an answer to anyone who might ask you. You're not out there, you know, pigeonholing people. But you're there to give an answer if anyone should ask or question. I know most of these people, they will only show at best a passing curiosity, but they're not going to do anything with it. They might even come in here and nod their head, and genuinely. But they're not going to pay the price and change their lifestyle where necessary to make this work for them. They're just not going to do it. They're going to rationalize, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord. Do you? You will not serve Him under doctrine, which involves a certain amount of sacrifices that those in the cosmos don't have to make. Those in the cosmos have a certain freedom to do and seek their own selfish, self-centered ambitions. We don't have that freedom. We are to take the Lord's yoke upon us. Or the other analogy is every day, take up your cross. The cross was a stigma in the Roman world of, it was a non-citizen, number one, and it was somebody who had done something real bad, apparently, and they were going to carry their cross, or the cross beam, to the place of their execution and torture. So you take up your cross daily. Let them run their mouths. Let them do what they will do. You stick with the plan of God and you'll be all right. Okay. Health testing. Health testing results in SG3. And this example here, read 16 as well, set the tone here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That's to be demoralized, discouraged, or in another place, it's called soul fainting. And though our outer man is decaying, that's not something that those of youth think about that much. They're young, if they're normal, unless they have some special health issues going on. They're vigorous. They probably look around, they see an old person, they don't realize that they're going to be there. That's where they're going to wind up. I was looking at the pictures in our wedding album back in 68. We looked a little different. We did. But we're going to look good forever. And all that has passed away back down the road. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And you know what that means. That means you came here for some encouragement, some spiritual renewal in regards to your own set of circumstances. For momentary, so our outer man is decaying day by day. For momentary light affliction, you might argue with that, but it really is. Light affliction. It is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Something heavy that's eternal, far beyond all comparison. Compare it to something out here in the world. Famous, rich, all the positive things these people may have. I don't look at these people anymore, but it's pathetic. They live their lives. Occasionally I hear stories. They made all this money. They did all going on. They're going to Europe now. Really. They got the money. They got the wherewithal. So they're going to go get this, do that. As they approach an uncertain future with their eyes simply nearsighted on the things of the moment. And when those things start coming down around their ears, they have nothing to fall back on. Nothing. But they've hardened their hearts over and over again, and that's where they're at. They're on this road to eternal destruction in the case of unbelievers. And dummy believers that aren't positive, they just blow it off. I go to church. Okay. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So if you're listening to me, and you're suffering the ravages of the physical person, the outer man. ravages might sound like an extreme, but everything from minor stuff up the ladder. If you handle it with the right mental attitude, keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the SG3, and that you can glorify God, then you can have some peace in the midst of all of this. Or you can become embittered, mad, angry. Who are you going to get angry at? God? While we look not at the things which are seen. I look at the things which are seen. This means that that's your only and singular focus. The things which are seen. The temporal realm, the material things, the experiences, and so forth. But at the things which are not seen. To have that vision, you have to have been enlightened as a believer. How do I get SG3? I've had people say, you know what? Even young people. Well, I was told this was some chore I was going to do. I got myself in fellowship. Why? Well, one, so that the work that you're going to be doing here is going to be rewarded. And I got out there and I did what my father told me to do. I mowed the grass. And then I had a test. I forgot to put gas in it and it wouldn't start. I'd never done that before. So I offered up a prayer. Went and got the gas can, opened it up, put the gas in there. The thing started up, and I finished it. You got SG3 for that. You could have got all upset, angry, fearful. I'd rather be doing this. No, this is what God has for me, and this is what's in front of me. It's not glamorous, but it's something I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. And when my father comes home, he's going to see his grass mowed right. But first and foremost, I did it as unto the Lord. And yes, I'm happy that I can please an authority or a person in my life. Just an illustration. So even young people on doctrine can do these things. But the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, for the things which are not seen, are eternal, everlasting. So that ought to be what we hang on. That we hang our hat on, the things that cannot go away. Everything else can. Everything else is temporal and will ultimately go away. All that you have, all you possess, even all legitimately, it's temporal. It's passing away. For the new order of things. In a resurrection body. Forever. So, our present sufferings are not to be compared to phase 3 and SG3. I've said this over and over. All people, if they stay around long enough, all people are going to suffer of all kinds of things and degrees, minor to major. Look at the great believers in the Bible, a lot of them. They suffered a lot. They went through a lot. But those that stuck with it are in the hall of fame. They found approval. God ordered their niche. They just got where they needed to be spiritually and locked in. We've seen this with Moses. Another one that's outstanding is Ruth. The book of Ruth, non-Israelite who runs into Jews, who ran from their niche during hard times and came into her life. And when they went back, she went with them. Her sister did too. But she made a statement. She just wanted to be with the people of God and away from that mess in Moab that she'd been raised up in. Because this couple who came and was there, they explained where they came from and what their faith was about. No, they shouldn't have been there, but God used that to introduce her to the plan of God. And she liked it. And you can read the book of Ruth and the famous statement she made. My people, they are now my people. I adopted them as my people. I have a new homeland and I have a new people. And she went without any hopes of falling into anything other than something real, something that was right spiritually. And she goes in there and works with manual labor. And winds up marrying in the line of Christ. So she was a generation or two as a grandmother from David. And there's a book devoted to her life. And she left country. She left family. She didn't do it for adventure. She did it for the truth. To be in the best possible environment. And get away from that mess that was a dead end called Moab and idolatry. A Moabite. We did the book of Ruth back in the day. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." That's why we hang in there. In part, there's two parts to it. The one part, the reason I hang in here with it, is if there was no incentive and we're all going to get equal in regards to the rewards package, what's the point? Well, one of the reasons I hang in there too is as I go through the conclusion of my life, I want God on my side. I don't want to be in a situation where He takes no pleasure in me. I do not want to be in that situation. Those who abandon the truth, He takes no pleasure in. Or those who don't live like they're supposed to under it. I'm gonna look up something here. Verse here, slipped my mind, sorry. But basically, those who gained approval, they did not, of Old Testament times, they haven't got their SG3 yet. They've been enjoying themselves in phase 3, but they don't have their SG3 yet. Anyway, those who fall by the wayside, He takes no pleasure in. Here's where it's at. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. All right. The Peter's fourfold description is enlightening in 1 Peter 1:4. An inheritance. We all know that in order for a person to, usually, to have an inheritance, the person who has the resources, property, money, whatever, that person chooses an heir and distributes the heir. And so usually it comes with the death of that individual. Okay? I've been the recipient of that with regard to my parents. So the thing is, it's an inheritance. This inheritance requires the death of a person, Christ's death. An inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled. We've all heard stories of how people take their inheritance and defile and blow it and do crazy stuff with it and waste it. It's undefiled by the STA of the individual who inherits the wealth. There's stories of people who inherited the wealth of a successful person, their parent, and then they just went out and went nuts with it, and that was it. And unfading, undefiled and unfading, it never loses its luster. I don't know how to explain that to you all, but it's unfading. It doesn't. And think of all the things potentially a believer has done in the lifetime of his phase three that's rewardable and that it's tangible and you have it. You may have a collection of things and various possessions that you keep track of, that you have. But this will not fade. It's protected or guarded in heaven for you. And so, as we conclude this Bible class, I cannot tell you exactly what it is. I can't even come close. But it's something very special that you have to have a resurrection body to enjoy. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.